Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Paweł Wieprzowski, and on behalf of Wood & Company, I have a great pleasure to welcome you to the first quarter 2021 conference call with Kernel's management. The company is represented today by Andriy Verest, Chairman of the Board, Anastasia Usachova, CFO, and Yuri Kovalchuk, Corporate Investment Director. Gentlemen, congrats for the record high results, and the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. Today we present the financial results for the first quarter ended 30th of September. We try to make the detailed presentation, and I hope all of you have a chance to look at it. So I will be pretty quick, so we spend more time on the Q&A. Group revenue reached 940 million, EBITDA tripled to 290 million, and net profit 3.4 times for 204 million. And the financial leverage reduced to 1.6 times net debt to EBITDA as of 30th of September 2020. I'll take you as usual through the our segments. First, I start with the oil processing. Generally speaking, it was a good quarter for oil processing business. We generated 31 million, higher than year-to-year 39%. And also, the margins was pretty strong, $104 per ton of oil, which is 41% up year-to-year. But mainly it was driven by high global sunflower seed oil prices, and we mainly crushed sun seeds coming from the last harvest 2019. So we had a sufficient carryover stock going to the first quarter. At the same time, outlook for the crushing business in the current season is quite difficult. We estimate that 2020 sun seeds harvest will be reduced, we believe even below 14 million tons. This is down from 16.4 million tons of last year. At the same time, we see the global sunflower seeds oil prices remain at the peak since 2013. Farmers are slow sellers in Ukraine. Of course, they're expecting future evaluation of the sunflower seeds prices. Under such circumstances, we still aim to get utilization of our plants as high as possible level. But of course, we understand that we'll keep downward pressure on our crushing margin, especially towards third quarter and fourth quarter of current financial year 2021. I believe the whole industry will feel pain this season. Number one, working capital needs of crushers dramatically increased. They have to pay higher sunflower seeds prices. Secondly, the gap between 19.2 million tons of installed capacity and 14 million tons of the sunflower seed supply obviously will be very difficult to operate for every crusher. And, of course, the season will be extremely difficult for the crushers operating with the high debt level, high cost, and limited access to the working capital. So, as I already mentioned, despite the challenging environment, we maintain our initial target to process 3.5 million tons of sun seeds for this season. Of course, we expect that profitability of crushing oil seed processing business will be lower than $100 per ton of oil, which we had in financial year 2020. Infrastructure and trading. We generated $111 million of EBITDA, which is almost triple. So growth in infrastructure and trading was preliminarily driven by Avery performance, betting on a recent soft commodity rally. So the guys was actually taking absolutely right position and made quite a bit of money for us. Ukraine grain export also demonstrated a solid result, with 2.1 million tons of grain export from Ukraine and 1.9 million tons of transshipment volume on our terminals, driven by earnings growth as well. At the same time, the weaker contribution from railway cars and the silos business we also faced in the first quarter. So I need to also mention that we continue to increase our market share in the grain export in Ukraine. In the first quarter, we reached 15%, is up from 14% achieved in the full year of 2020. We are generally optimistic for outlook for this segment of the current season. On the one hand, grain export value chain in Ukraine will definitely suffer because we would be missing 10 million tons of crop size in Ukraine. And of course, it will squeeze margin on all our business lines, while the growth by the terminal and the port of Chernomorsk is not likely to compensate such a weakness. On another hand, our Avera subsidiary is still performing incredibly strong year to date, and this gives us a good chance that the whole segment will exceed the result of financial year 2020, where we generated $216 million. Farming. EBITDA contributed $161 million, that's including $41 million of implementation of the IFRS 16. The major growth came from very high soft commodity prices. We almost completed the harvesting campaign of the 500,000 hectares. Our yields suffered across the board without any exception, corn and sunseeds and wheat. We outperformed the Ukraine crops, but it's still quite difficult situation with harvest this year. But at the same time, we can see that this drops of the yields is more than compensated by the strong prices. And we still remain long, around 700,000 tons of corn of our own production. But we have a good chance, I think, that we should generate around $200 million EBITDA net of IFRS 16 in the financial year 2021. To summarize, farming together with infrastructure and trading segment will drive our performance this year, and covering the weak performance of the oil seeds processing business. I mean, it's quite early to say, but I think the information what we have right now, and that if it's not a bad surprise, we think we have a good chance to outperform the, in terms of the total EBITDA for the current financial year compared to last 2020. Our liquidity position remains strong. We have a $395 million of cash, $489 million of them ready marketable inventories, and almost $1 billion of undrawn lines. As you know, Board of Directors decided to recommend shareholders to increase the dividends of financial year 2020 to 42 cents. And the last one, the execution of our strategy 2021, we deployed $53 million of the capital expenditures, and we reconfirmed that originally guided CAPEX of $270 million, including maintenance CAPEX, which will be practically the final CAPEX we spent in the financial year 2021. This is pretty much it from my side. Please go ahead with your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask any questions, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. Or if you have joined us online, please press the flag icon on your web browser.
So let me start, Pavel Vyprovsky, Wood & Company. You've just mentioned that you have decided to increase your dividend proposal from 0.25 initial initially to $0.42 per share. It seems that we have the beginning of the new dividend policy already. And could you please comment on your approach to future dividends in terms of what would be your way of thinking, given the fact that this year we should have record high EBITDA potentially reaching $500 million, and you are deleveraging at a faster pace than at least I expected. So what can we potentially expect next year in terms of dividends?
So the decision of the dividends of the 42 cents wasn't really related to to this results of the financial year of 2021. Of course, we're also very happy that the results are quite strong, and we feel confident that 2021 should be a strong year for us. But we also have to keep in mind that a big part coming from Avera, which is not sustainable and have the speculative position, the nature. As well, we were pretty lucky with farming business because, the whole world situation with the prices helped Ukraine. And we compensated the bad weather conditions and the drop of yields by the prices. So eventually we are coming out with the farming even stronger. But once again, it was quite lucky part for Kernel as well. So we perfectly realize that the financial year 2021 have some subjective results. But we increased the dividends to 42 cents because we believe that we are finishing our CapEx program and our earnings should came up to the different level in the future in the future years. And at the moment, you know that we were keeping 25 cents for a long period of time. Right now, we plan to keep at least 42 cents for a long period of time as well. And then, as we discussed already several times, we will finish our CapEx program. We will see the integration of the new assets into the business. Then we need to see the land reform and the potential M&A, if anything will be available for us, anything interesting will be for us in Ukraine. And then we might come up again with some new dividend policy.
So it seems that at this stage, the base case scenario for next year's dividend, the dividend to be paid from 2021 profit is $0.42 per share, correct?
Yeah. We that's what we plan at least to be stable for the next years.
Okay. My next question regards the crushing margin. At this stage, you have $100 plus margin in the first quarter. If you were to name the average level for the entire year, that would be 70 plus level or 80 plus level?
I would not, honestly. I know you all want to hear from me that what kind of margin will be, and I want this probably more than you, but this season is completely different and difficult. And we bought, I think, right now 1.8 million tons of the sunseeds from the market. We also have around 400,000 our own production, so 2.2. We still have to buy quite a bit, and I don't want right now to say what kind of margin we will finish the year, and because I might make a mistake, honestly speaking. I just simply don't know.
Okay.
We have a big gap between the capacity installed and the production, unfortunately. So the competition is high and quite difficult here.
Okay. Last question from my side. You have now 1.6 times net debt to EBITDA ratio. If you were to guess estimate what might be the level of leverage for end of this year, what would that be?
Anastasia, help me if, please. I mean, we plan to keep the, at least, not increase our net debt level. EBITDA should be higher, so we might be even lower than 1.6. Anastasia, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, we can just confirm that in terms of gross debt, we should be more or less at the level of 30th of June 2020. And then, yeah, depends on the EBITDA level.
Yeah, we expect more or less the same, even higher the operational cash flow. But we, as you know, we plan to spend $270 million on a capex program. Plus, we would probably have to working capital changing. Working capital will be more because we would the inventories cost more, so our inventories level will be higher. So I think more or less we will be on the same level, maybe slightly lower, 1.5 maybe.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
We have a few questions that have come through on the line now. Our first question is from Martin Nowak from IPUMA Securities. Martin, your line is now open.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the presentation. I have a few questions. The first one, could you please explain more a bit the rationale behind increasing the dividend proposal for this year? Because the recommendation was changed after 1 month after initial recommendation. And could you please comment in more color what has changed over this month decide for what has changed behind this? What was the change behind the decision?
Look, nothing. It's not nothing substantial changed. I mean, you know that the many shareholders is quite, I mean, demanding in terms of the dividend, and we were hesitating a little bit in terms of timing when we should implement the new dividend policy. We decided to do it now. Once again, it's 68% growth of the dividends compared, I mean, our 25 cents, but at the same time, I think we feel more confident that we can be sure that we can put this growth, dividend growth, for this, at least a sustainable level. Investments coming to the end. So it wasn't any particular things, but maybe we were a little bit in a rush, but at the end of the day, we decided to announce the new dividend policy.
Okay, thank you. And with regards to the potential additions to M&A pipeline in the future, your main investments are set to be concluded this year. So for the next year, there should be mainly a maintenance capex. So you plan to... do you consider that you may change as well in November or October next year your approach to dividend payments, seeing that there's nothing potentially new in the pipeline with regards to the dividend, because you said that you expect to pay also 42 cents next year?
I don't think that next November the dividend policy will substantially change. I don't see it in next November. As you know, as I mentioned already, 2021 we should finish the old capex and just carry on with the maintenance capex, as you correctly mentioned. We actively looking obviously on an opportunity of M&A deals. Of course, at the moment there's nothing on the table which we can announce and not even close, I can tell you. So don't expect any big check writing from us in financial year 2021, and I really doubt maybe what we can see in 2022. But in terms of the dividend policy, I don't think the next year we will come up with the new policy. Give us
okay.
A bit of time to look around because we still have we still need to figure out the land reform and finalize the capex and give us a bit of time to think.
Okay, and my last question is regarding Avere. I remember that during the last quarterly call, you said that there would be no further comments regarding the actual quarterly contribution of Avere to the results. But given the size of the estimated contribution this quarter, can you comment on exact contribution to this quarterly results? Or is my estimate of at least $100 million of year-on-year contribution from Avere a correct one?
In terms of Avere, I can only comment that it's less than 100 million. I read your report, and yeah, it's not 100, it's less than 100 million. So what else was about Avere except this?
No, my question was regarding the estimate, the quarterly contribution of Avere.
Yeah, less than 100.
Maybe one follow-up. Was this position already liquidated in Avere, or we may be...
They reduced the position, but they still have some. And but what I can assure you that the drawdown limits are not increased. And of course, if the prices are set back, they might lose, but a little bit. But the drawdown limits and discipline remains in place, and they would not lose more than 25. But as far as I know right now, they slowly reducing their positions because the market for their view is reaching a top. So, but they still have some positions.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question is from Daniel Zaskovich from Barclays. Daniel, the line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the call. Could I just ask about the crushing industry? I mean, do you see any potential for some of the excess capacity to potentially go offline given the challenging conditions that you expect? And you mentioned about M&A. I mean, is it crushing where you would like to be active on M&A, or are there any other parts of the business where you see, you know, strategic potential for growth?
Thank you. Regarding the crushing industry in general, after this year, we hope and we believe that small players will suffer a lot, and let's see. And I personally believe we will see some guys who has a net debt and a high cost will shut down the operation. How many? Difficult to say, but definitely at the moment they are negative. And especially the working capital requirements are high, so they just simply has no access to this. And we would see some market change, structure change going forward. Of course, we also right now see some I would say good capacity are already on the markets. I mean, discussions to sell the business. Unfortunately, it's still not the level what we would like to see in terms of valuation, but I guess it's a process. But we slowly coming to the level which I think we would be interesting to do the deals. In terms of M&A, generally speaking, we interested pretty much in all our lines. We're looking at the farmland. If it's really next to our operation and interesting land, this year it's definitely not for the deals because our farmers are across the board making a lot of money, and I think the expectations what the farmers have right now, forget it, to make any deals right now. But we're still looking around. We would be interested to look at infrastructure assets as well. Obviously, if it's the right valuation, the same as for the crushing business to consolidate the market as well. So, but once again, we're not in a rush, and we're generating cash, and these businesses, I'm talking about infrastructure and the crushing business, has for small players has potentially no big upside. So I think there's time is work for us. So I think we will slowly looking around, and if anything comes up, we go ahead.
Okay, thank you.
We now have a question from Milos Vislos, sorry, from IRSM. Milos, your line is now open.
Okay, obviously the level of the profit from the agricultural operation depends at the end on the difference between the evaluation of the biological asset, which is done prior to harvesting and selling the crops, and the realization prices. So I have a question concerning, is it possible to get some information about what were the assumptions for the prices that were used in report to evaluate the prices for corn, for example?
Anastasia, can you comment on this, please?
No, I don't have the figures in front of me, but that's let's say September prices.
September prices. Okay, fine. Okay, so that and when it comes to the sunflower, I believe some of the crops were gathered already after the end of the September. So the prices that were used to evaluate the biological assets, I can assume that they were the average quarterly prices of sunflower, yes? Or the September prices?
That's September prices.
Okay, so that's my question, thank you.
We now have a question from Yadid Anabul from Barings. Yadid, your line is now open.
Hello there, and thanks for the presentation, and thanks for taking my question. Question is on the outlook of the infrastructure business, both the silo and the grain exports. I'm just trying to understand, if the yields, crop yields are lower in Ukraine, why do you have a positive outlook for the grain business, the grain export business there, and the silo business, I think you said, was neutral. And then the second question is on the soft commodity rally. Obviously, there's been a lot of research out, but what is your take on it? Like, what's driving it so much? And when do you think that prices on some of these grains might stabilize? Thank you.
Thank you. First, infrastructure segment. As I mentioned earlier, so we definitely, Ukraine losing 10 million tons of harvest. I'm talking about wheat and corn and barley, but which of course will put the pressure on margins for the whole line of infrastructure, silos, trading margins, and the ports. But we still believe that we will be outperforming in terms of volume compared to the 2020 year. So in absolute terms, we should be better. And on another hand is Avera. Avera is doing extremely well at the moment, and not only in the first quarter, but carry on to do the good job. And once again, if not a disaster happens, so we believe that the infrastructure and trading line will outperform the last year results. In terms of the soft commodity prices, there's many factors. I mean, the Latin America, it's not the best conditions. China building big reserves and the big buyers. So generally, sentiment was very, very positive for the soft commodity prices. In terms of, I mean, where is the end? I mean, God knows where is the end. But we, I mean, as far as I understand from our trading guys, they would believe that we are already approaching a kind of, top level. But the rest, I mean, the new development will depend on the Latin America weather, and then there's going to be new game again. So, I mean, it's quite tough to understand where it would go, but that's the view at what we have right now.
Thank you. Just to follow up on those two questions, and on China, why is China building inventory? Do you know? And then on the infrastructure side, you said you expect your volumes to be higher than 2020. Why are you expecting your volumes to be higher than 2020?
First of all, for infrastructure, volume will be bigger, we expect, because we're commissioning them, fully commissioned our terminal last year, and this year we're fully operate with the full volume. Obviously, we are number one in Ukraine in terms of the infrastructure, railway cars, silos, and we are built, and we are increasing our market share, having the old tools in our hands, and that's so we have the infrastructure in place, so that's why we believe that we would outperform the volume compared to the 2020. In terms of China, I mean, China had the low levels of stock, and I mean, it's I don't know the China policy, but what I see they're buying across the board and soy protein and corn and the soybeans and corn, and right now they slowed down a little bit, but for the last 3 months it was super actively buying.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We now have a question from Natalia Shevgotska from Dragon Capital. Natalia, your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and congratulations on the strong results. I have two questions, please. First of all, I would like to ask how situation with the frequent defaults on crop forward contracts in Ukraine can affect companies' 2021 results, because we saw that companies' other operating income grew in the first quarter of this year on account of washouts, and should we expect more of that going forward this year, and what should we expect overall results of this situation on companies' operating and financial results? Thank you.
Thank you for your questions. I think the whole market faces difficulties. And not only Ukraine, I think the whole globally speaking, because the many farmers and many multinational companies enter into the contract, and the price difference was extremely, extremely high. And we have defaults as well. And at the moment, that amount of what is the total amount is around 20, 25 million. That's what we are working at the moment. But I don't think this all will be materialized as a default, because, I mean, we try to find the solutions with the farmers, which will be, I mean, both sides solutions. Of course, some amounts will be definitely write-offs, but not write-offs completely. We would be postponed this amounts for the next year and maybe a couple of more years, because it depends on the farmers. But for this year, yes, we will have some amount of the not getting some profit because of the defaults and the market difference. But I can tell you this is not very material for financial results of Kernel.
Thank you. Just to check, 2025 million, you mean million dollars of contracts,
yes,
in
million
question.
Dollars.
Okay.
Million dollars.
Thank you very much.
Which is not the fixed amount. That's what we identify as a potential default from the farmers, and that we're working at the moment right now with every farmer separately, try to find the solution, and we definitely will have the amount way, way smaller in terms of the missing profit this year. But it's not going to be totally gone profit. So we're gonna find the solution to postpone this money for the next year, or maybe a couple of next years.
Okay, so not default, but not performing contracts, so to say.
Exactly. Yeah. Say like this.
Okay. Thank you very much. And the second question would be: do you believe it's right to assume that company's full year EBITDA before IFRS 16 this year will exceed $500 million? Thank you.
I wouldn't give you an exact number right now. I think we gave already too much information for you to calculate. I mean, what kind of the level should be this year? I think we still we still have some I would say some important points to complete. Avera has to carry on with the profit and not make mistake. We still have third and fourth quarter with the crushing business, which is still a big question mark, and we don't know what kind of margins we will finalize. The only thing what I can tell you, it's a farming. Farming plus minus, let's say, 5-7 million we are in, and because we still have to sell 700,000 tons of corn, and we're done. And I think if not until December, but right now prices a little bit came off because it was a Thanksgiving, the profit-taking and stuff, we believe that prices should stabilize maybe today, this week, next week. So, but we're actively trying to fix to lock up the margin for the farming, and I'm sure we in the near future we do it. But the rest we still have to work. It's not done yet. It's just the first quarter. We still have a long way down the road to complete the year.
Okay. Thank you very much.
We now have a question from Jacob Skopek from MBank. Jacob, your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Congratulations with very good results. I've got two questions. The first is regarding how much in the farming business, how much volume did you already sold? You said that you've got something like 7,000 tons of corn to sell, and that's all? So it's like 90% more or something like that?
I think we got total volume, Anastasia, correct me if I'm wrong, was 2.8, right? So all together, but all this is without sunseeds. How?
Yep.
So from 2.8, we sold 2.1 and 0.7 still long position.
Yeah.
Okay.
There are some details on page 5 of our presentation.
Okay. The one question regarding the Avera, you mentioned that still in the fourth quarter, right now Avera performs pretty well. Do you believe that Avera could give us like another the same surprise as it was in the first quarter? Is it feasible?
It would be a good surprise, I believe.
But feasible or rather not feasible?
I mean, the guys are trading. I mean, it's so difficult to... I mean, if we press the button and liquidate the whole position, I would tell you yes, but it's not yet. So, I mean, when you trade, you never know. And I would be very, very reluctant to give you anything about Avera, honestly speaking. I mean, if any person who trade on a daily basis, he understand. I mean, tomorrow you can wake up and the situation can be totally different. We live in still, we have thanks God, we have this U.S. clear up a little bit. We still have COVID, and we still have situation can potentially impact it on the positions. I would not give you premature expectation, please.
Okay. And the one last question regarding the oil business in the fourth quarter. I remember that after the last call, you mentioned that till the end of the year, you're pretty sure about the margins in the edible oil business. I would like to ask about the fourth quarter. Do you still believe that the margin could be okay in the fourth quarter still? And what would it be? What it could be like 100 per ton or less already in the fourth quarter?
No, I'm just maybe we're confused with the quarters. What I said on the previous calls is just we start the financial year 2021 with quite healthy margins. Yeah, that's true. But the volume we bought with the healthy margins wasn't very big. So right now the margin's constantly going down. And we still have some volume to buy. And what margins will be in the fourth quarter, I don't know. I can tell you right now that the first quarter next year, 2022, will be definitely very, very challenging. So for the fourth quarter, we would still try to maintain some level of the margins. So, but I honestly, as I said already, I would I would not comment at the moment. I simply don't know.
Okay, but I would like to ask about the second quarter of your financial and the fourth quarter of calendar year. So this quarter that we are.
I'm not thinking calendar years. I'm always thinking my financial years. Sorry.
Okay, so second quarter, yeah. So
second quarter. Second quarter, we should be still okay.
Okay. Thank you.
We have a question from Yadid Anambula again from Bearings. Yadid's line is now open.
Yeah, thank you. Just a follow-up. So on slide 14, on the grain rail cars, you said you expect normalization of profitability after market saturation. Could you just talk a little bit about this market saturation that you're referring to here? Thank you.
The answer is very simple. The volume goes down some terminals as well. We commissioned the terminal, and so the deficit of the railway wagons is way less compared to the last year when we had the record, and obviously some bottlenecks in the port and stuff. And we don't expect that railway cars' earnings level will come back to the previous level. I think it should be probably bounced back for the 2022 if the crop will be stronger. But I think that will be already normalized earnings from the railway. Of course, we have some new railway cars coming on the market. So the pressure is obviously way, way less. That's why the earnings are down.
Okay. Thank you.
But it's still, I think we still did a good deal, when we bought this railway, and I think they performed very well last year, and I think it will be quite stable earnings going forward.
We have another follow-up question from Milos from IRSM.
Yep.
Milos, should I
down there? I have one more question. The question is about what is the difference when it comes to contract for the crushed oil and the delivery time. So, for example, if you deliver the oil to somebody who bought it now, when usually it is contracted, or if the spot sales are a big part of the business?
Anastasia, can you help me with this? We have some time lag, of course, but for
yeah,
how?
Yeah, we have
how,
3-4 months.
3-4 months, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Obviously, at the beginning of the season, it's shorter, but then it's building up.
As another reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. And if you have joined us online, please press the flag icon on your web browser. We have a question coming through from Konstantin Astrovets from Adamant Capital. Konstantin, your line is now open.
Hi, thank you for the call. Just two quick questions. On the oil seeds, I think that you mentioned that you already have 2.4 million tons. 2.2. And are those already, so is that oil that's going to be made from that something, is that already pre-sold? Or are you still long those seeds? Okay,
no.
That's pre-sold.
No, it's done, yeah.
It's done. Can you guide or maybe say something about what the margin there is, since you already know that figure, or are you not willing to disclose that?
We're talking about the same questions all over from different sizes. I mean, as I mentioned to you, I mean, the margins we generated in the first quarter is quite strong. Second quarter will be still good, but lower than the first quarter. The third and fourth quarter I just don't know. But the second quarter is just lower, just slightly lower than the first quarter.
Okay, but it is pre-sold, right? So the, so you're not long.
Yeah. It's all no. Unfortunately, not.
Okay. And then you might not like this one either, but unaware. Just I hope this is the last one you're going to hear. But but when you guide for the sales and trading EBITDA that you think might outperform last year, do you assume a contribution from Aware besides what you already have? Are you assuming when you say that, or are you not assuming really anything when you say that?
Say again, please.
So you mentioned that you think there's a pretty good chance, or there's a good chance of sales and trading, the grain segment, right, the trading segment, to outperform last year. When you say
that, correct.
Are you assuming a contribution from EBITDA, from Aware that is extra to what you already have locked in the first quarter, or are you not, or are you conservative with regard to Aware when you say that?
No. We still expect some extra EBITDA contribution coming in the second and the third quarter from Aware.
Okay. Clear. Thank you.
Another reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask any questions, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. So it looks like we don't have any more questions from the participants at this point.
Thank you very much for your questions. I hope I try to answer all of you, but sorry if probably not give you the full comprehensive answer. But anyway, if you have any other detailed questions, you always can ask the guys, and they will provide the information as usual. So thank you very much for the call. Bye-bye.